However, think about this, folks. They were perfectly willing to condemn him to an entire lifetime of slavery and subjugation. Think about that. Murder would have almost been quicker. It would have been easier. But in the providence of God, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. By the way, what a terrible manifestation on their value of life. What did they think of life? What did they think of their brother? They thought he was worth about 20 pieces of silver. About $2,500 today. Terrible thought. In verse number 28 of chapter 37, we find that he's sold to the Midianites. And then in verse 36, he's sold by the Midianites. In verse 1 of chapter 39, we see that Joseph was brought down to Egypt unto Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. And this officer, this Potiphar, buys Joseph as a servant. And here we've seen Joseph the dreamer, and we've seen Joseph the despised, but here we're about to see Joseph the determined. We see, if you would, look at the text with me, and we'll give, as is our custom, we'll give a few points and then a few applications here tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, Joseph's peace in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse number 2. Here's Joseph, and he has been thrown in a pit. He's been cast aside by his brothers. He literally was within a hair's breadth of being murdered by his own brothers. Now he's been sold and taken down into this wicked land of Egypt. And the Bible says in verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian." From the pit to the pagan house, he had the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Why? "And the Lord was with Joseph." We mentioned that this morning in our message, how obedience, the obedience of the believer and the peace of God are joined together by God. See, the reason sometimes people don't have peace in their Christian life is they're living in known disobedience to God. And they know God knows it. Amen. Yeah, you know what? I could say amen with you because I have done that in my life. Why don't I have any peace? Because you're living in disobedience. You're not reading your Bible. Come on, church. Amen. If you're reading your Bible, you know what God's saying. You're not praying. You're not witnessing for God. That's a command, by the way, folks. That's not just for pastors and deacons. Amen. That's for every one of us. And so what happens is sometimes we live in known disobedience and God removes peace from us. I think a lot of depression is just disobedience. Not all. Some of it's chemical. I have a friend whose body doesn't produce serotonin or the antidepressant, the good one. My friend John Bishop used to say, when you kiss your wife, it releases serotonin. So he used to call him up to his wife and say, "Give me my medicine, amen. Give me my medicine." No, there's some folks that are like that, but a lot of depression is just disobedience to God. A lot of it. And you know what? Joseph could go into this Egyptian's house and just start serving the Lord and working because he knew he had been obedient to God. He knew he'd been obedient to his father. And you know what it produced? Peace. We're not perfect, and all God's people said, but we can have the peace of God by saying, "Father, I'm trying to obey you. I fail you every day." And by the way, we do fail God every day, every day, every day. But you know my heart. I want to obey you. I'm worshiping you in spirit and in truth. You know what God will give you? Peace. Even in a pagan house. Hey, think about that, you guys that are out on the job. God can give you peace in the pagan house. God can give you peace in the midst of wickedness and other. God can give you peace. So we see Joseph's peace. We see, secondly, Joseph's prosperity. Joseph's prosperity, verses 2 and 3. tremendous verses. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. God's presence not only brought peace, but also prosperity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you know me by now. I am not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. You say, what is that? These are these people on TV. They're charlatans is what they are. They say, if you just do this and you just do that, God will prosper you financially and bless you. Now, listen, the Apostle Paul is the great refutation to that complete argument. Apostle Paul didn't have anything, but he was blessed of God. He was God's man. Job had everything taken away, and he was still God's. But here, Joseph prospers. And we see Joseph's prosperity. No doubt Joseph was diligent and hardworking and industrious and successful here. The Bible tells us that he prospered in Potiphar's house. So we see Joseph's peace and we see Joseph's prosperity. I want you to notice Joseph's promotion in verses 3 through 6. We've read them already. The hand of God was evident. Look at verse 3, church. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. God's hand was so evident in this believer, Joseph's life, that even a pagan Egyptian could see it. Amazing. God's evident hand. By the way, secular worker, you can have that. I'll bet you some of you have that and you don't even know it. You'll know it when somebody at work has a sister that has cancer. And they'll come to you and say, would you pray for my sister? You know why? Because your testimony is evident to them that you know God, that you worship God, that you walk with God. His testimony, the hand of God was evident. You know, we see not only the evident hand of God, we see the employee servant, Joseph. Look at verse 4. It says, and Joseph found great grace in his sight, and he what? Served him. But Pastor, you don't understand. He was a pagan Egyptian. He probably prayed to idols. And he served him. And he served him. So privileged to have the Leonards come over today, and we had lunch together. We were talking about that. We were talking about how the subordinate is not based on the person above them. It's based on our love and respect for Almighty God and the position He has placed us in. You know what Joseph said? Hey, look, I may not like this. I didn't like getting sold for 20 pieces of silver by my brothers, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve my Lord, and by serving my Lord, I'm going to serve my master. And the Lord was with him. Amen. The Lord made everything he did to prosper. Joseph's promotion. The hand of God was evident. The employee servant, Joseph. You know what else we see? The esteemed graciousness of Potiphar. Look at it, if you would, with me. In verse number 5 and 6. Or verse 4, I'm sorry. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time, he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That is the esteemed graciousness of Potiphar. He said, I trust him so much that all I know I have is the food that's before me. But I know he's taking good care of everything else. Boy, Brother Leonard, you're a businessman. Brother Jack, you're a businessman. Oh, for employees like that. Amen. Oh, for employees like that. Joseph was a servant. We see his promotion, the evident hand of God, the employee servant Joseph, the esteemed graciousness of Potter, the express blessing of God is in verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And then it even goes on and a little supplement to that. It says, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had. Not talking about Joseph here. It's talking about Potiphar. All that he had in the house and in the field. It was all Potiphar's. And God blessed it all for Joseph. By the way, can you think of another time God did that? Remember when Jacob went to work for Laban? And all of a sudden, God started blessing Laban. Laban started having all kinds of blessings because he had God's man with him. Joseph's promotion, Joseph's prosperity, Joseph's peace. Verse number 7, we're introduced to Joseph's peril, aren't we? Look at verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things, after God prospered him and Potiphar promoted him, that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. Look down at verse 10, if you would, please. It says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and none of the men of the house were there within. And she caught him by the garment and said, lie with me. What was Joseph's peril? Forgive me, ladies, I don't believe there are any of you in here tonight, but his peril was a wicked woman. A wicked woman. By the way, there's a difference between a lady and a wicked woman. Amen. There's a difference. This wicked woman, by the way, it started with a stare, didn't it? She cast her eyes upon Joseph. There was something about him that drew her eye, and she saw that everything was going well for her husband now because of this man. But remember, she was a wicked woman. She didn't see God in it. She saw something that she wanted. We see the stare of a wicked woman. We see the suggestion of a wicked woman. What did she say? Lie with me. Commit adultery with me. By the way, they never say that, do they? They never say commit adultery with me. They say, let's enjoy ourselves. Oh, read about it in Proverbs chapter 7. About that wicked, foolish woman. And how she entices. So we see the stare, we see the suggestion, we see the successiveness, don't we? Look at verse 10. It says there that she spake unto Joseph how often? Day by day. The suggestions just kept coming. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this was not a woman who had one eye in the center of her forehead and weighed 585 pounds. She was the Potiphar was an important man. He no doubt had a beautiful wife, and her suggestion and her successiveness. Every day she said to Joseph, "Come on, come on. We can do that and get by with it. My husband will never know." We see the sinfulness in verse 12. The stare wasn't enough. The suggestion wasn't enough. The successiveness wasn't enough. What the sinfulness is found in verse 12. She caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. Literally grabbed him. Thank God for Joseph's priority, ladies and gentlemen. We see his peace, his prosperity, his promotion, his peril. But in verses 8 through 12, we see his priority. Notice his refusal in verse number 8. Here she said in verse 7, lie with me. But he refused. He refused. He said a great word that I wish more young Christians, and some of us older ones too, would learn. It's the word, no. Oh, not no to the will of God. Not no to obeying God. No to sin. No! His refusal. You know what we see? Secondly, we see His reasons. In verses 8 and 9, notice the favor of Potiphar. He says to her, this wicked woman, it says, he refused his master's wife, said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. He said, there's no way. Your husband's been so good to me. He's been so gracious to me. There's no possible way I could do that to him. By the way, I love the characteristic of loyalty. Loyalty is rooted in gratitude for what somebody's done in your life. What did he say? I can't do this. Why? The favor of Potiphar. I'll tell you what else he said. He talked in verse number 9, if you look, it says, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Not only the favor of Potiphar, but the fidelity of marriage. Even back then, Joseph knew that that woman belonged to Potiphar and nobody else. Amen. Boy, I wish in this wicked world we live in, more people would learn the fidelity of marriage. It's Honor Marriage Sunday. Amen. But what's fidelity mean? It means faithfulness. It means faithfulness. You know what? I want to be faithful to that beautiful woman back there who's given me 3 children. She's mine and she's not for anybody else. Amen. And you ought to say the same thing, sir, about your wife. And ma'am, you ought to say the same thing about your husband. And all God's people said. Amen. He appealed to the fidelity of marriage. And really, thank God for this, his priority was really the fear of God, wasn't it? What did he say at the end of verse 9? How can I sin and do this great wickedness and sin against God? He knew that to commit adultery with her, while Potiphar may have never found out, that God would have known right away. And it would have been a sin against God. Joseph's priority, his refusal, his reasons, and I love his responses. Verse 10, first thing he did was he got away from her. He kept away from her. By the way, that's great advice right there. Keep away from sin and those that would encourage you to sin. He got away from her. Then in verse 11, it said he went into the house and it was time to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. That tells me that he was very, very careful about making sure somebody was around. That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble too. Having the right people around that'll discourage you from sin. And then really the last thing he did was he just took off. What, she grabbed him, grabbed the hem of his garment there, and said, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand. I heard a preacher say this, he lost his coat, but he kept his integrity. Amen. Quick applications, and I'll be quick, it's about 5 minutes to 7 here. Number one, our obedience brings peace and trust in God's sovereignty. Joseph didn't do anything wrong to end up in the pit, to end up in Potiphar's house. He didn't do anything wrong. So you know what he could do then? He could trust in God's sovereignty. God, you have a plan in this. I trust it. You know who said that? Job did. Job said, look, I feel for him and I can't feel him in front of me and I can't feel him behind me, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know the story about Patch the Pirate. He wrote that song, Rejoice in the Lord, when he lost his eye. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the path that I take. When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Secondly, tonight, it's not our circumstances, but God's presence that brings blessing. I'm glad about that. I've been in some circumstances in my life that I didn't think were best, but God still blessed in spite of what I thought. Amen? We used to joke about going to Bible college in Pontiac. Our pastor used to say the armpit of America is Pontiac, Michigan. And the other one is Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's just both sides. Amen. And we used to think, my heavens, how could God ever bless in Pontiac, Michigan? And He did. And He did, and He did, and He did, and He did, and He did. And so many times in our lives we think, man, if I could just get out of this situation and improve the situation, I'd be more blessed. No, God wants to bless you right there where you are. Jeremiah 29, the Babylonian captivity. Here they were. 70 years, God said they're going to be there. But He said this, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Plant vineyards, build houses. I'm going to bless you right there. God wants to bless us where we are, in our circumstances. Number three, since promotion comes from God, let's do our best wherever we are. Amen. Just, sir, listen, if you work at Wendy's, Miss Faith, amen, serve God at Wendy's. Don't serve the boss. Well, you are the boss, so amen. You listen, you know what I'm saying. You're not serving your boss. You're serving God. So do your best. Do your best. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, we could look at that. Number 4, prosperity has temptations just like adversity. Sometimes we think, well, if I could just be more prosperous, everything would be better, I'd be fine. You know, Joseph had some serious temptations come in prosperity when Mrs. Potiphar began to bat her very long eyelashes at him. That happened in prosperity, ladies and gentlemen, not in adversity. It was when everything was going good in Joseph's life that she came along. Remember that. Number 5, I mentioned this morning, so I'll certainly not tarry long on it. Our true love is shown in our decisions. See, the reason why the lustful Mrs. Potiphar didn't have any effect on Joseph was because he was in love with his God. He was in love with the God of the Bible. How can I do this great wickedness? Oh, it may be pleasurable for a season, but you know what? It would break my fellowship with my Heavenly Father. No thank you, ma'am. No thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our decisions show our love. What we watch shows what we love. What we listen to shows what we love. Where we go, where we don't go, shows what we really love. As the old saying goes, the proof's in the pudding. Amen. Thank God Joseph gives an example here. Number 6, and lastly tonight. When Satan says yes, you can say no. When Satan says yes, go ahead. You'll like it. You'll have a good time. No one will know about it. It's just between us. You can say, no! Why? Because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. See, the problem is, sometimes we snuggle up to temptation when we ought to be running away from it. Amen. Amen. Speaking from personal experience, the times where I've given in to temptation is because I didn't say no. No. I think about maybe those that have a habitual sin in their life. And the devil's just convinced you you're going to say yes to that the rest of your life. No, you don't either. You don't have to. You know what Christian liberty is? It's the liberty to say no to sin. It's not the liberty to go off and do all kinds of questionable conduct like some Christians promote. It's the liberty to say no to sin. You know why? Before we were saved, we could only say yes to sin. That's all we could do. That was our old nature. But you know, God has given us the Spirit of God. And we could say no. Hey, Joseph refused. When Satan said yes, he said no. Joseph, the determined, Father, we